Daryl Ryder posted a story, and he wrote three words describe yesterday's Cowboys-Browns opener. What a disaster. That's what Daryl wrote. He's brought to you by Chauvin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
All right.
How are we?
Oh, obviously, we're doing wonderful. I mean, it feels great. It's a wonderful feeling.
Camp season starts in 3 weeks.
Okay, come on now. Let's not say things we can't take back here. Let's go. I mean, yeah, we're excited about the Cavs, too, but you get what I'm saying.
How about them Guardians?
I'm really nervous.
Okay.
I'm not nervous about the Guardians. I'm really nervous because, like, I consider and go, well, it's one game, this, that, and like, boy, I hope so, because he just looked like a quarterback that was not confident in himself, not trusting or confident in his teammates, and there was a point they showed him on the sideline, and he looked like he was staring into the abyss in the second half. And I'm like, man, he looks like a guy who's searching for a quarterback that's not there anymore. And it makes me nervous, buddy.
Yeah, I got nervous last week when Quincy Avery jumped on national radio to sell the world how great Deshaun Watson is and is going to be. And the sales job organizationally that was taking place for the 2.5 weeks after the joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings, that first half was almost a carbon copy of the first day of the joint practices with the Vikings when it came to the pressure applied to Watson, when it came to the lack of timing and internal clock from Watson, and it came to execution and completing passes and picking up first downs. So I would like to say that was a surprising disappointment, but there were signs of this in training camp. The offensive misalignments, again, things we saw in camp, especially in the joint practices with the Minnesota Vikings. Like, that's elementary football, people, knowing where and how to line up. And I have no patience for the lack of execution of basic elementary football. I don't care if it's the season opener or not. I give you one penalty. 2, 3, 4. That's absolutely inexcusable. And a complete lack of preparation. Again, don't care if you got backup tackles on the field. You should know where you're supposed to line up. That is coaching, 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 and a complete lack of preparation and attention to detail. And you can clearly tell who's not on the coaching staff anymore. Bill Callahan ain't here. And it sure looked like it. I haven't seen an offensive line performance. I wrote this last night. I haven't seen an offensive line performance that bad in years. And that offense in the first half, that was some 1-15 and 0-16, you know what.
So is it your thought then, Daryl, based on what you saw yesterday, that there's too much heat today on Deshaun Watson, that basically any quarterback would have had a tough day at the office?
Well, there's a couple of things here. I do want to be fair to Deshaun. He's played 12 games in 3 years. So, I expected a slow start. I didn't expect one first down in the first half of a slow start. I also want to give him some grace. His father, he told us after the game, his father passed away on Friday. One of his friends and former teammates passed away on Saturday. So he played with a heavy heart. And I do think that there is a chance maybe his mind wasn't 100% in that game. So I want to give him the grace of humanity here and not just completely bury the guy because he didn't play well. That said, at some point here within this month, we need to see the quarterback look like a starting quarterback in the National Football League. So, and this offense needs to look like it's actually an offense in the National Football League, because that was really, really awful yesterday. The ineptitude was mind-boggling. They went 7 straight possessions. Well, actually, it was 6 of 7 that they went 3 and out, and the other one they couldn't even get to third down because it ended up in an interception. So you had 7 straight short possessions for this offense where they did absolutely nothing. I mean, look, I miss Joe Flacco. I miss the offense we got to watch at the end of the season. That offense worked, and I've said this in the offseason. Like, the changes that they made this year had nothing to do with failures of Kevin Stefanski's offense. It was all about making life better for Deshaun. And I don't know, and I'm going to go back and rewatch it again this morning because I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty confident I'm not. It did not look like life was better for Deshaun yesterday at all.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Like, that's, I can't absolve, we've spent obviously a lot of time talking about Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's the future of the franchise no matter what. I can't absolve Kevin Stefanski of any of the responsibility. I know he can run an offense, but nobody was ready. Nobody was prepared for this game. And that's going to be on your coaching staff, and that ultimately is going to fall on your head coach. And you're right. Well, 11 penalties, and we could talk about the sloppiness, but you know, the illegal shifts, the illegal motions, I mean, that's silliness pre-preparation stuff. And it's, I can't even use the excuse, well, they haven't played with each other a bunch. Well, you know, we've had that conversation over and over and over again, so that's still going to be on them.
They were the only team that had that. There are other teams that sat people in the preseason as well, and they looked perfectly fine in week one. So, as I said earlier, Ken, we saw warning signs of this in training camp. And it was, everything's fine. That's not how we coach and practice and everything. And Kevin said it yesterday. And I, you know, hopefully I'll have an opportunity to ask him about it today, because apparently it is, Kevin, because y'all did this in the preseason and in training camp. We saw it, and you didn't fix it, and we were told it was fixed. So, it was a complete lack of preparation, and that's what you get. And so hopefully we don't see this problem ever again this season. Again, give him the mulligan. It's only one of, 17 that they're going to play. But you only get 17 of these things, and you already flushed the first one.
Daryl Ryder with us. He was there at the game yesterday when, obviously, we're spending a lot of time on the offense. Defensively, how disappointing was that performance? It looked like the line got off to a great start at the beginning of the game. The crowd was into it. Then what happened?
Yeah, I mean, Dalvin Tomlinson, Myles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith got sacks in the first half, and, well, that was about it. Look, if I would have told you going into this game, Dak Prescott was going to throw for less than 200 yards and only one touchdown, I think everybody would agree they would have said the Browns boat raced the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and, well, that's what happened yesterday. He didn't throw over 200 yards. He only threw for one touchdown, and instead it was the Browns who ended up getting boat raced. It started with the miscommunication. I don't know. Greg Newsom said after the game they just have to communicate better on that opening touchdown there to Cooks that gave basically the Dallas the lead for good. Again, Newsom said they got to communicate better. Him and Juan Thornhill, something happened there. Cooks was just wide open. And I think that they wouldn't say it after the game, because I asked multiple players, hey, you guys were on the field a ton in that first half, and at one point it was a 3-1 plays run ratio here. How much did that contribute to you guys just getting worn down? Which I believe that was the case. Now, the responses I got from everyone, pretty much, the coach speak, football responses, hey, we got to play complimentary football. It's nobody's fault. When we're out there, we have a job to do, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that that was a mitigating factor for this defense when you have absolutely no time on the sideline to take a breather because your offense is so inept, they can't even pick up a first down. I do feel like that does have somewhat of a domino effect. And then even more disappointing, you give up a 60-yard punt return on special teams that basically drove one of the final nails in the coffin. I think the second interception was the last nail in the coffin. But once that punt return got returned for a touchdown, that was everybody was free to go home and drive home safely.
One more thing on the defense. They were victimized by a bunch of trap plays, those same jet sweeps that we had seen in not only that, I remember the Rams game last year was one in particular, but also the playoff game against the Texans. Is there some concern that maybe they're not making some adjustments because what they do is on tape? And
right.
We've seen now, especially over the second half of last season and now this opener plus the playoff game, the book is kind of out on what this defense gives up.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas did a good job taking advantage of the man-to-man as well as, beating the pressure up front with some misdirection. Because let's be honest about it, chips don't really work all that well against Myles Garrett. So you give Dallas some credit there. And a couple of guys did say in the locker room after the game that, give them credit. They did a couple of things that we did not see on tape. And, they just quite frankly beat us. So, give the Cowboys credit. And you're right. I do think that the book might be out defensively as far as the man-to-man and the pressure up front. And yet you have to adjust. You have to be ready for the misdirection stuff and whatnot. But you're going to probably see a lot more of it. You did not get lit up, though, yesterday by Dak Prescott. And you still got run out of your own building. That's what's concerning, right? It's not like we're sitting here and saying, it's Dak Prescott. He threw for 400 yards and a bunch of touchdowns, and, that's going to happen. No, that's not what happened yesterday. And I think that's what makes that all the more frustrating.
Daryl Rutter brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. All right, David Njoku, how serious is it?
Yeah, it could be a high ankle sprain. He was in a walking boot after the game on his right foot. That's obviously never a good sign. A lot of times that's done for precautionary reasons. He's going to undergo an MRI today. They'll take a look, and fingers crossed he's not going to have to miss significant time, but there is a chance that is a possibility.
MJ Emerson got hurt late in yesterday's game.
Yeah, he did. We talked to him after the game, and he told us he's fine.
Okay, are we going to get Jed Wills back this week against Jacksonville?
We shall see. Same thing kind of goes with Conklin. Kevin Stefanski said after the game, the standard answer he gives. Both those guys are doing their work and, trying to work their way back. But if Mr. Miyagi's listening, if you could head on over to 76 Lou Groza Boulevard and help those two gentlemen out, I think Deshaun Watson and the Browns offense and Browns fans would be very grateful and appreciative, because that was not good yesterday.
That second pick, would you put it more on Elijah Moore, or would you put it more on Deshaun Watson?
Well, the throw was a little off, and I do have a rule, Ken. If it goes through your hands, you probably should catch the ball, right?
It's just your rule, or is it everybody?
The Daryl rule.
I'm kidding.
It's
not. I'm messing with you, Daryl. I'm sorry.
Ken, I'm trying to be diplomatic this morning.
It's just kind of. It ain't good, Daryl. I got a terrible feeling, man. I got a terrible, unshakable feeling right now, buddy.
Look. Leaving that stadium last night, I think I have shared the same feeling that you had. But I'm trying not to express that. I'm trying to keep some perspective here. 1-17, again, giving Deshaun the grace of what's going on in his personal life. Obviously, that's very awful to deal with going into the first game of the season. Again, just 12 games played in 3 years. But as I said earlier, man, okay, I'm willing to give you some leeway here at the outset, new offense, this, that, and the other. But this season's about results, and I'm going to need to see some results. And the Browns need to finally see some return on that $230 million sixth draft pick, including 3 first-rounders investment here. They need to see that, because if this is what it's going to be, if he's going to be skittish in the backfield and seeing ghosts and running around and, the clock between the ears is off and not being able to read pressure when it comes and things like that, not seeing guys that are wide open running down the field, I worry, like I think you do, Ken, this could be a very long football season, but I'm really, really trying to do my best not to overreact to one game. As Wyatt Teller told us in the locker room, it stinks, but it's just one of 17. The problem is it was the first of 17 that they basically had an entire offseason to prepare for.
Yeah.
Daryl, make sure everybody reads you, 92.3thefan.com. Make sure everybody listens to you and Baskin, I almost called it the emerging podcast scene. My goodness. It's always game day in Cleveland. New one out. I would imagine the new one's out.
Yeah, we dropped the post-gamer last night, so.
Did you cuss? Did you get loud? Did you cuss?
No, we keep it PG on the podcast. We resist that temptation, so, because we want everybody, okay, children included, to be able to listen to us yell and scream.
You want to subject children to that type of game like yesterday?
Well,
and the reaction to it?
I don't, but let's be honest about it, Ken. For the better part of 30 years, this is what we've been subjected to, so you'd think we'd be used to it by now, right?
Tough love. They got to grow up sometime, right?
Yep, that's right.
Daryl Ryder. That's Andrew Siciliano and Nathan Zagura yesterday on the Browns Radio Network, right here on The Fan. The booing actually was even worse than that earlier in the football game.
And the boos rain down as the Browns go to the break, 20-3 on the short end of the score here, week one, with the Dallas Cowboys.
That run booing was before that.
Excuse me, sorry, yes.
But it doesn't matter what time it was, Ken. They were booing in the second quarter. They were booing in the first quarter. They were booing in the fourth quarter.
See, I didn't hear the booing.
They were booing in the third quarter.
I wrote down 4:53 is when I heard the boos.
Yes, that was the first time that it really...
Oh, God, was it bad.
But it depended, were you watching TV or were you listening to the radio? I tried to sync and do both. There were points, though, where I had to take one off, you know, mute one and just listen to the other. It was coming through on both, though.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
And Andrew did a great job of pointing out, hey, they are booing their asses off right now.
Such a visceral, angry boo. You had to do it. You had to let your opinion known somehow. It's not going to do you any good, but you had to do it.
Well, and that is why, obviously, you were telling me last week that the fans were not going to buy a rust argument. They weren't going to buy a first game after having significant surgery. And the reality was that I think even Deshaun Watson did not know what that was going to look like until he was out there. You can talk up a big game, and everybody in his orbit talked up a big game about how he had no limitations. Guys, clearly there were limitations. And I don't mean like that he can't throw the ball down the field or anything like that. If anything, he was throwing the ball way over guys' heads and way out of bounds. But he was off target. You know, since he's come to Cleveland, the accuracy has just been gone. And I don't think that's mechanics. Although I'm sure some quarterback gurus would say there's probably something going on there. That to me seems to be mental. Because if you are late on processing, if you are feeling and sensing ghosts around every turn, if you're not necessarily get to mechanics, if your plant is wrong, if the timing's wrong, you know, that's going to cause your throws to be off kilter. This was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL when he was in Houston. He is now one of the least accurate.
Well, if you're lacking confidence, I don't know how much the other things are going to help you. You can sit there and work on your platform all you want, but I don't know how much the other things are going to help you. If you don't have trust that you can get the ball there, then I don't think we're going to do any good here. And I don't think he has trust. I don't think he has trust in himself.
No.
His offensive line. I mean, it was a terrible game altogether. It was a total team effort to go out there and lay such an egg and embarrass themselves in front of God, country, and city. It was terrible. But again, I cannot stress enough. It's not even like I'm not even sitting there. I'm not calling him a bad guy. I'm not mad at him for this performance. I'm nervous. Like, there's plenty of people lining up to say things on his behalf. Okay, but I'm pointing out that we're in year three. There's just no more time for any of this yet. I got a bunch of other people on the other side. I got one tweet here. Twitter Reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. This guy says, another person says he has until the end of the month. Once you do that move, I want everybody to understand this. Once that move is made, I don't think there's any going back through that door.
It's over.
Like, that's it.
100%.
There's no trade value anymore. There's no trade value now, so I know you can laugh at that. There's no trade value. There's no saving it here in Cleveland. There's no saving it with Kevin. That's over. Like, once you make that move, now we're talking about an historic cut. Like, Russell Wilson was an historic cut last year. That would now be on the table at the end of the season. I don't want to seriously discuss those things yet because it has been one game. And I know that sounds like a giant excuse. That's as close to an excuse as I'll get. That I don't want to have a discussion about benching the quarterback yet. Now, if we continue this next week, obviously there's going to be even bigger discussions. And the week after, the drumbeat's going to be very loud. But once you get to that level, There's no going back through it. And then you have to understand that you are going to separate yourself from this quarterback, and we're going to take a bath on that contract. So I don't want to get to that yet, because it has only been one game. But the one game was terrible. Terrible. It was terribly played by the offensive line. Everybody's fears about Andy Dickerson, I'm afraid, are becoming true. They didn't practice enough together. Everybody's fears about the defense and whether or not the Emperor's not wearing clothes anymore, I think that that's on the table now. I know they're not afraid to play man coverage. That's something that Tom Brady could at least say yesterday. They're not afraid to play man. However, I think that they got caught with their pants down several times yesterday. Even the special teams was garbage. You give up a punt return touchdown after you did one in the last preseason game, for crying out loud. Like, get some of your bearings together and get some of your stuff ready. The whole game sucked out loud
team. They had an illegal formation on a kickoff return. So they had 10 penalties on offense. It looked like they had never practiced together before, which is, from what we were hearing from people watching, they didn't really take practice all that seriously. They didn't have the bodies, and they were just getting through. They were just getting through. They didn't play together, obviously, in actual preseason games. So I don't know why anybody would be that surprised that going up against Micah Parsons and Lawrence that they would have some issues yesterday offensively. It doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean that you should be happy or that this is this, like, you couldn't overcome any of it. But it just is a window into why that happened.
Let's go to the phones. 216-474-0092. Nick in Menor, you're first up on the Fan. Hello, Nick.
That's not what the problem is. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing okay. Go ahead, Nick.
You needed tackles last year. You needed tackles and a guard on the offense last year to keep the team going the way it was. You got coaches. You replaced a whole bunch of other people. Never got the tackles and guards. You're still stuck in the Hugh Jackson area because you brought his offensive coordinator back, who sucked when he was with Hugh Jackson.
Hold on. Stay with me. I'm not running you. The tackles, that's a conversation to have. I mean, you got DeJuan Jones there, but that's a conversation. The guards, you want to replace Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller already? They did get Zach Zinter.
You don't have depth.
Oh, that's okay. That's what you mean by that? Then, yes, that's absolutely
true. Yeah, you don't have any depth.
Okay, go ahead.
Any position in that whole thing, you have no depth.
That's fair. Go ahead.
You got rid of Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt came in to save the day after the other guy gets hurt.
Well, that I can't agree.
You have no running back right now.
Is Kareem Hunt even
on
a
the injured reserve?
Is Kareem Hunt's not even on a roster right now?
Right.
I don't think you spend any time. So we see it, but no other team in the NFL sees it, Nick?
That he did good last year?
He averaged 3 yards a carry.
He was
great in goal line situations and 1 yard situations.
He was this generation's Leroy Horde.
He got touchdowns when nobody else got any touchdowns in certain games.
Okay.
No. He did last year.
Okay, but again,
10 yards into
guys, he is not a starting caliber bell cow running
he
back.
He was not even
well, better than not having anybody.
Okay, Nick, thank you for the call. Like, he's again, not even on a roster.
He
wasn't even invited to a camp.
He averaged 3 yards a carry last year. Chubb, his career, has averaged over five.
I don't begrudge him what he did last year. Kareem Hunt did a fine job
last
year. That was
last
year.
He's a short yardage back at this stage. That's what
yes.
he is.
Yes, he is. He is our Leroy Horde. Or he was. 216-474-0092.
He could catch the ball out of the backfield, but you know, that is something that they're going to have to look at.
He was a fine player. He was a fine player. Kareem Hunt's going to fix all this? All this? All these problems Kareem Hunt's going to fix? No. I'm not even saying Nick was trying to say that, but the Kareem Hunt argument to me, guys, is dead. To us, to the show, is it a show stance that argument is dead?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure of it. I want to make sure. I don't want to cut anybody off on that.
Even if he was on the roster yesterday, the way the score was going, he would not have been in the game to do anything, because what he does is, like Lyman said, he had 400 yards last year rushing. He had 9 touchdowns, which was his best year touchdowns-wise, but 400 yards rushing in 15 games.
On the depth situation, I agreed with what Nick said about that. I mean, yeah, you went out and you got Zach Zinter.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can develop into something nice. You had to go out and get Nick Harris because of the injury that you had to Luke Whipler. That part sucked for you. I don't know what Javion Cohen is going to be able to give you. I think it's obviously way too soon. You have a little bit of depth, you would assume, except you got guys who are injured, because I don't know when Jed Wills is going to be able to play, and I don't know when Jack Conklin's going to be able to play. And James Hudson is a really nice guy. Eddie in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Eddie. I got
you.
How you
guys doing?
Go ahead.
Hey, listen, man. again, I called here about 2 years ago. I got through. I told you guys, and I had said some stuff that I was hoping to get a good reaction from the team, and they made the decision to get rid of the defensive coordinator, got a tough defensive coordinator. The whole problem that I see is that we just lack the toughness. Our team is a reflection of our head coach. And I just think we just lack the toughness. I think our head coach right now is a good guy. I think he can put out a good game plan. I think he just lacks, you know, we all lack certain things in certain areas. I just think he lacks the toughness. He gave his team a big break this year during the preseason. And it's showing now with the first opening game. So now we got to deal with regular season games as if they were preseason games to get this team back together.
Well, their leadership, Eddie, and like I want to like start to mince words with the whole, and Eddie, thank you for the call. I want to mince words a little bit and do the whole toughness thing, but he is a calm demeanor coach. He's a manager of people. He is not fiery. He's not Marty Schottenheimer. So Eddie is right about that. But where he's also right about is that you need leadership on the team. You need leadership from the players. And if they don't trust some of the places that the leadership's coming from, like quarterback, and the quarterback doesn't trust the people he has to lead, which they didn't trust each other yesterday, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to get anywhere at all. Like, there has to be a leadership, and you can try to be a leader. The people have to trust you. You have to trust the people you're leading. And so if no one trusts each other on that offense, then that half of the football isn't going to do anything. The defensive side of the football trusts each other. They just sucked up the room yesterday. And then as time went on, you couldn't get them off the field. So then they were really going to suck up the room because they were gassed. Because we weren't able to convert fourth downs in our own territory.
He's talking about all the miscues. And Jake Burns had a rundown of the specific penalties. So 10 of them on offense alone yesterday. One ineligible downfield, that was on the RPO, the false starts, two of them, two holding calls, two illegal shifts, three illegal formations. Very much...
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Very much a team, not to mention the illegal formation on the kickoff return. It's just unbelievable. That would reflect a team that basically didn't take seriously a preseason training camp or any of that, right? I know there are other teams that didn't play anybody substantially, or if so, just a drive here and there. But you know what? That's them. This is us. This team may need that stuff.
Oh, God.
And they couldn't find a way to get that work in.
I'm sick.
Felt like they treated that whatever happens, happens
game. I'm sorry to yell, but if you were afraid that the quarterback was going to get hurt in the preseason, how could you? You could do whatever you want to with Jameis Winston. And your tackles weren't walking around on crutches.
That is not to relitigate that conversation. There are teams.
It sounds like it, though.
No, what it is to say is, what did you guys expect? What did you guys expect? Did you expect there to be some brilliant chemistry between Watson and Jerry Jeudy?
No.
What? Because his quarterback coach that he pays has said good things about him? What? Because Ken Dorsey?
Oh, yeah, that's what they do. They believe that.
Because Ken Dorsey, your new OC who got fired at his last stick because he had all these positive. What did you think Ken Dorsey was going to come out and blast the offense in game one or before game one? Jim Schwartz can do that because he's been around for a long
time. That offense wasn't very good over in Buffalo yesterday either, so I don't want to hear about that altogether. What?
I know you'd be taking.
Well, I'm trying to find something
shots.
There. I'm trying to find something there for crying out loud.
I just think it was
at least
ludicrous.
In the first half, it didn't look that way.
I think it was ludicrous to expect.
I still finished off good. Damn it! All right,
I know they ended up with 30 some points.
Jeez,
I get your point. They did look terrible in the first.
I said it. I went. Wait a minute. No. Fine. Forget it. I got nothing.
But. Not just the rust thing with Watson. There was way more going on there. They did not look like a well-coached team. They did not look like a well-prepared team. The only thing I can hope is that they were going to, this sounds terrible to say, ease into the season. To me, that was like
it's a football season. It's not a hot bath.
It was, but you know, Kevin Stefanski has history here. They got blown out in his first game as a head coach against Baltimore.
Well, I hope you're right.
They made the playoffs that year.
I hope you're right. I sincerely hope you're right, because if you're not...
None of that sounded good coming out of my mouth. I totally understand why people are eye-rolling. They're talking about his salary again, the quarterback. They want to know why this team didn't look better coached. I'm trying to find reasons because we've seen a well-coached Cleveland Browns team under Kevin Stefanski, so much so that he's won two Coach of the Years. He didn't become a dumb, bad coach overnight. They got a lot of talent on this team. That wasn't acceptable to anybody. There's no way it could have been. But I'm a little surprised that anybody expected that offense to look humming yesterday, especially against that defensive front. And man, did Dallas tackle yesterday. It wasn't just that they were getting pressure. All those little dump-offs, that the screen game that we excelled at last year. I mean, David Njoku, it seemed like he had very, very little opportunity to get going. The Dallas Cowboy defense was swarming.
216-474-0092. Let's go to Eric and Medina. You're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Guys, I don't understand why we refuse to just be honest with ourselves. This guy is a mess.
He'll go down as the biggest bust in the Cleveland Browns history. Too much money, not enough anything. I mean, he looks terrible. Why don't we just be honest with ourselves? He looks terrible. Everything about him yesterday looked like crap.
No, it didn't look good. Is there any positives you have from the game there?
None. I watched football all day yesterday. Every other team I watched looked like an NFL football team. We looked mundane and vanilla in every aspect of the game. I don't understand why the Cleveland Browns are always the Cleveland Browns. I'm sick of the excuses. I've been doing this for almost 50 years. And I watch the same rerun over and over again. We don't have a quarterback again. In this league, when you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. That's it.
Eric, thank you very much for the call.
Yesterday they looked like a team that didn't have a quarterback. Yesterday.
He's rudderless.
That was yesterday. Watson looked terrible. He has not been good since he's been at Cleveland Brown. We all know that. Like we all understand that. The hope is that obviously Watson can get, but this whole offseason was about getting him back to be the old Watson. And so far, 0-for-1.
So if you went back and you heard the very first call out of the shoot, you could tell I was very angry about a certain something. There is an elephant in the room that I have been avoiding for the first 3 hours. Will I face that elephant in the room? No, it's not myself in the mirror. Will I face that elephant in the room coming up in the next hour? Find out, because I think I'm going to be forced to. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, take us with you to work on the free... Damn it, I really don't want to do this. On the free Odyssey. I mean, I want people to listen to the free Odyssey. Listen, there's an elephant in the room here, and you guys all know what it is, and I'm probably going to have to face it here within the next hour. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app.